Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's so good to be back with you guys. We truly missed you guys. You are our family. You are our home. A couple of weeks ago, we started The Mind of Christ and spent that first message sharing just more of testimonies to gain an understanding and just to help us a little bit to see this in action. Today, I want to get into more of the theology or the biblical basis for this. Second Corinthians 10:3-5 says this: For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting out down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. Do you ever make the excuse or hear the excuse, they made me do it, or it's their fault, I'm like this? That somebody has this unbelievable hold on me that they make me do the things that I do? You made me curse at you. You made me yell at you. You made me think this about you. Well, I'm about to tell you, what we just read debunks that myth. Nobody can make you think, and therefore how we think affects our attitude, which affects behaviors. Nobody can make us do this like this. See, right there, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, and we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, the source of the battle is not in the earthly realm. It's not in the fleshly realm. It's not in the material realm. So I can't say I'm mad at Tiffany and it's her fault that I'm mad at her. Because that's saying, well, my environment controls my thoughts. It's up here. And it's not in flesh, but in the mind's heart. It begins. Strongholds. For we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Our weapons are not in the flesh. They're not in the material world. They're in the spiritual realm. They are spirit. And if the Spirit of God is in us, His thoughts should be our thoughts. His attitudes should be attitudes. That's the mind of Christ. And for casting down, warfare not carnal, but mighty God for pulling down strongholds. Let's look at this. Strongholds. What's a stronghold? When you think of a stronghold, most of us think of a wall, of a barrier, of a prison, of a cage, of something. Something we need to climb over. Most of us will think of a stronghold because we've heard that term used in medieval-type movies and shows and documentaries, that they got to get over that stronghold, over the high walls of the castle. Well, this is not about things in the material, in the natural. These are spiritual things. And the clue is casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Knowledge is up here. It's your thoughts. It's the wisdom of God. So the battle is in our mind to have the mind of Christ. What is it that I'm exalting or that's in my mind that I need to fight with the weapon of the knowledge of God? Cast down that argument. In a way, I'm arguing with myself. Because when those thoughts enter, the Spirit of God in me is going to say, no, you get down. You stop. I don't agree with this. I don't believe in this. See, it's thought patterns that war against the knowledge of God. I'm going to repeat that. It's thought patterns. It's a way of thinking that's directly opposed to the knowledge of God. And it's in conflict with what God says. And see, the devil inhabits these thought patterns. This is where he comes in. This is exactly where he comes in. Think about this. You open up a little door, and he's going to come in. I have a little tiff with someone. And what happens? All of a sudden, that tiff potentially cracks the door open where now negative thoughts about this person begin to try to enter in. Thoughts, see, if God is love and the Spirit of God is in me, that means love is part of the knowledge of God. So now those things are at war against the Spirit of love in me and making me think things that are not based in the love of God on that person. Think about that. Anytime you don't feel, and I'm not talking about emotional gaga love, I'm talking about a true, pure love for another human being, ask yourself why. If all of a sudden you feel yourself despising somebody, why? Is that God? Is that God? Am I thinking that way because God wants me to think that way? Or is it the devil coming against me? See, listening to a teaching yesterday, and it's one of those things you really don't think about till somebody says it, but you've sort of known it, but never in the forefront. God is love, right? True love casts out all fear. But what about the reverse of that? If I allow fear in, it's casting out love. Fear is at war with love. Fear is from the devil. Love is from God. So these are the strongholds. These are the things. See, the enemy rests safely in the broken thoughts of the people when our thoughts are impaired. In other words, they're not lined up with the things of God. And from there, he works to kill, to steal, to destroy, to take away the blessing, to rob you of that blessing by getting you out of step with the things of God. Maybe I am called to speak words of life into a specific person in my life. But now, that person, something happens. Those ill thoughts that enter my mind are going to keep me, are going to try to come against the Spirit of God in me, telling me to speak those words of life. Because now I despise them. See, if you have a hard time saying you're sorry first, who do you think that is? Even if you were at fault or not, saying I'm sorry, not necessarily for what happened or for what wrong might have been done, but for the fact that it went a certain direction. My role of hurting the other person. If you can't do that, that's not from God. And it's hard. It's a battle up here between the knowledge of the things of God, because most of us, when we are not thinking in the knowledge of God, don't want to think in the knowledge of God. We're filled with so much other negative energy and impaired thoughts, broken thoughts, that they keep us from moving in the knowledge of God, in the things of God, doing the things we're supposed to do. See, verse 4 and 5 says this, "For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments at every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." It is casting down those reasonings. It's saying, wait a minute, you're telling me this, but this is what the Word of God says. Therefore, you're wrong. Word of God's right. There's no question about it. It's casting down those negative attitudes. you know, shared with you a little bit just a few minutes ago how, you know, this past Sunday a week ago, there was 2 hours of laughter going on. And at first I'm going, is this you, Lord? But then when you get into the presence of God, you say, yeah, this is of God. When you start reviewing Scripture, when you remember, Jesus rejoiced. He's, the word says rejoice, sing, celebrate, praise, give glory. All those are expression of emotion when you start thinking things like that. God asks, why is your reasoning, why you're thinking, you're speculating, even sometimes our imagination, which is our mind wandering off, why is it at war with the things in His world? Why? Why is it that I get frustrated emotionally and mentally over things when I'm supposed to walk in the peace and the presence of God? See, that's a battle of the mind. Everything begins with a thought. Everything. That's a battle that is taking place there. And it's hard to fight that battle, but it is a battle that is fought. You know, I shared a lot about my own struggles with these things, experiencing a lot of things I've never experienced. You're talking to, you know, a conservative Baptist growing up. And it was very hard, and it still is, as I'm coming into the new things in the presence of God, to get past some of those things. And one of the things that I'm struggling with at times is still renewing my thoughts about my own worth in Christ. It's still a struggle. I read His Word, and He tells me who I am. I'm His anointed. I'm His chosen. I'm co-heir with Christ. I am those things. But it's a battle within my mind when a lot of times I don't think that way of myself. I don't think I'm worth being those things. I have not embraced them. And that's the battle. And that's what I need to recognize and repent for, not letting those things enter in my heart. Not accepting what His Word says and allowing a high place to develop in the core of my mind. Because that's what they become. You become secure in your insecurity. You become comfortable in your fears. You become static and safe in your ways when God's saying, it's time to stretch. It's time to move to a new area. It's time to go deeper. Take the next step with me. It's time to love like you've never loved before. It's time to give like you've never given before. It's time to dance like you've never danced before. It's time to be free like you've never been free before. But our mind says, but I'm comfortable here. I don't need to do that. And these things continue to battle within. Ephesians 4, verses 20 to 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness. See, saying don't give place to the devil here. Don't give place. You're driving. Somebody cuts you off. How many of us, our first reaction is to bless them? With a pure heart. Bless them with a pure heart. Because as soon as you open your mouth and think those negative thoughts, guess what? A crack in the door has been opened. And see how it impacts the next 5, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, hour or two of your day. Till you say, Lord, forgive me. I bless them. I bless them. when you're angry at your spouse or your children, when you're dealing with those things, you're going to have a miserable day till you bless them, till you repent, till you make things right before God. And start esteeming them, honoring them above yourself. Honoring them above yourself. And above your position and your place. Things of the devil. Don't give place to things of the devil that says this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way we do things. This is the way we've always done things. This is the way how it has to be. When the Holy Spirit's saying, no, I want you to think on this. I want you to move here. I want you to trust me in that. Why are we dealing with ideas and thoughts completely separate from the ideas of God? See, we can't afford to entertain those thoughts. How do we not do that? By getting into His Word, by spending time with Him. I can guarantee you that the solution, or at least my place within the solution of every problem I could ever encounter, is being in the presence of God and dwelling on His Word. Every problem. Is it going to automatically make the issue in the material realm go away right away? Not necessarily, but it's not going to faze me. Being in the presence of God, being still, renewing my mind with the Spirit of Christ in me, the Word of God, the Spirit of truth. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of truth. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in Him. His mind was based on the Spirit of truth within Him. And that Spirit of truth is in us. Bring it out in the forefront. If nothing else, I will be what I need to be in the eyes of God in the circumstance. I will be called right in God's eyes, in right standing, no matter what the dilemma or situation may be. These are the things that take place that I need to go on. These are the strongholds that try to keep us from moving forward. But I want to go to Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. I want to talk about the reality right now of this situation. Let's talk about what's real and why this is important. See, you can look this up on your own, but in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 5 to 16, 1 Corinthians 2, 5 through 16, you can write it down. Talks a lot about the mind of Christ. And because in every verse talks about the mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast with the wisdom of man. The mind of Christ involved wisdom from God that was once hidden, that's revealed. The mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God. The mind of Christ cannot be understood by those without the Spirit of God. And the mind of Christ gives believers discernment regarding spiritual matters. He gives us these things. But Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts." I have to give up the right to me. I have to give up the right to feel like I can claim that it's my right to feel how I feel. I have to give that up and say, "Lord, how do you want me to be? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to see? How do you want me to understand?" In a world, we talk about keep an open mind to things. Well, keep an open mind to God. But to do that, we need to be in His presence. See, the Spirit of God is only on those who have opened their heart, one, to the salvation of Christ, and two, to the Spirit of God. He gives that wisdom. He wants it. His thoughts are not my thoughts, but guess what? He wants to give me his thoughts. He wants me to know everything about him. Everything. Does not want to hold anything back. Thinking of an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where, you know, Raymond's mom was teaching Raymond's wife how to make meatballs and sauce, you know? And she pretended to give her the exact recipe, but she hid one ingredient, mislabeled it, because she didn't want her to be as perfect as her. That's not God. God wants to tell you how to make the perfect meatballs in your life. He wants to give you everything. It's his desire. This morning, as my wife and I were praying, the Lord kind of spoke to me and was showing me how he's got the fire and he desires to bring the fire down on us. But he can't send the fire if there is no sacrifice. If I want everything of him, he wants to give me everything of him. To be in that place. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Will we allow the absence of an immediate breakthrough? I'm going to ask you this. Immediate breakthrough. Change your revelation of God's nature? See, God's wisdom is greater than man's. His foolishness is greater than man's greatest wisdom. His ways and thoughts are not ours. So let's say I believe God can heal, which I do. But for some reason, God did not heal me right away. All of a sudden, do I start thinking, well, I guess God doesn't want to heal. God is not a healer. Am I allowing those thoughts to take root in my thoughts, or am I going to give God glory for the healing he's already done? And in faith, give him glory for what's yet to come. You know, I've had two bad knees for a long time. And, you know, I go up the stairs, my wife can hear them snap, crackle, and pop because there's no cartilage. Last weekend, I had my knees prayed for. My right knee was completely healed. My left knee, still. Had three different people pray. Still does, hasn't fully healed. It still pops. Not as bad as it was, but still does. Am I going to say, well, I guess God, you don't want to heal me anymore? That's a lie from the devil. And it's not going to take away from who I believe is God in my life. Those thoughts are not going to enter my mind. And believe me, they tried. Instead, I give glory to God for what he did. I give him thanks for what he did. I want the mind of Christ renewed in me, thinking on the things of God. Not what I don't have, but the everything that's been made available to me in him. Ephesians, every spiritual blessing under heaven in Christ Jesus is mine. Am I going to believe that? Am I going to accept that? Or am I going to say, well, I guess God isn't really the healer he is. So he's not going to heal me like he should. Do you remember the story in Matthew 16 when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And he said, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, the world didn't reveal that to you. My Father did. He gave you that understanding, that knowledge. And then, 5 minutes later, Peter now is going on his own knowledge. And he tells him right away, get behind me, Satan. See, Peter's mind was not set on the things of God at that moment. When Jesus first asked that question, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? A holy revelation was given to him by God. But then when Peter reacted in the flesh, his mind wasn't in tune with the wisdom of God, with the Spirit of God. Because if he was, he would have known this is what Jesus had to do. He would have had that revelation if it was. So he reacted in the flesh. That's why Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because those weren't his thoughts. So we talk about the reality is God's thoughts are not mine. They're greater than mine, but I want them. I want my mind renewed. I want my mind changed. And it's a process. And I'm not going to lie to you and say I'm not struggling with it too in my own life. But we struggle with this because we are human. But we have a grace that is greater than any of our sin, any of our humanity, any bondage we can be in. We have a Spirit of God that sets all men free and a Savior who died so I can be free, who's given me a Spirit to walk in that freedom. And he's given me the Spirit of truth and wisdom. So what is a free mind? What does it mean? Well, the word repent simply means to change your mind. Somehow over the centuries, that word has taken on different meaning. But to repent literally means to change your mind. Why do I change my mind? Because the battle's up here. When I repent, I recognize who God is in my life and circumstance. And what he can do and what I did that I need to change my mind on. So it's a war up here. It's one thing to confess the sin, but it's another thing to change the way I think about the subject. It's one thing to say, "Lord, I'm sorry I did this." But repentance means I change the way I think about it, the way I look at it. I'm not sorry that I did the act. I'm changing my attitude about the thing completely. What do I mean by that? Think of someone who you absolutely detest and ask the Lord to give you love on them. Start praying for them. Think of somebody you have a hard time with, who you're struggling with, and start looking at them through the lens of God's eyes. Look at the person that just cussed you out as a person who's lost and hurting, instead of responding and opening the door to that same thing. Look at the frustrations we're dealing with and saying, "You know what? No, I'm not giving glory to the devil. I'm not going to give the glory to the devil in this. I'm not going to let this consume me. Instead, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, come and consume me. I'm taking myself out of one spiritual environment into another. I'm taking my mind out of the environment of the natural and of the devil and putting it on the things of God, on the knowledge of God." 1 Peter, I love this. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Do we have that picture? You guys, can you see that picture? Saw that on Facebook a while back and I loved it. What you see is a gentleman who's girding up his loins, literally. Basically means he's tying his robe so he's ready to fight, he's ready to move. To get, so he doesn't trip over himself. And you do that because you're ready for action, to move forward, to fight. So he's saying, get your mind in fighting mode. Gird up the loins of your mind to start fighting the things that are coming against it. Recognize the things of God from the things that are not of God and come against them. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. It's not talking about liquor sober. It means get that sound mind of Christ. Get it focused on what you are doing and what God wants to do through you. Get your mind sobered up on the Word of God. Focus on the Word of God. Let His Word dwell. Get into His presence and rest your hope fully upon the grace. In other words, I trust you, God. that you're going to see me through, that no weapon formed against me prospers. That in you all things are possible, Lord. That I am the overcomer I've been called to be in you. All those things that we stand on, we accept them as Jesus is revealed. Be sober. Get ready for that mental fight. Every morning, as soon as we wake up, the mental fight begins. I want to share something with you. Every Saturday night, as we go to bed at night, and we pray together, we pray for everyone in this room. We pray specifically that the Holy Spirit moves in you even while you sleep. That He imparts dreams and thoughts and visions and things on you so that you come ready for the battle. That you wake up ready for the battle. Because for most people, I from what I've heard, a lot of people wake up in Sunday mornings and it's an all-out war half the time to get to church. But guess what? It's a spiritual thing that might manifest itself in the natural. But the battle is still yours. Start girding up the loins of your mind, not Sunday morning, but the night before, maybe two nights before. And let's get in the habit of girding up the loins of our minds every night for the day that's coming up. Prepare us for this day, Lord. Prepare us, because the enemy is going to attack us in our minds. And it doesn't happen, it doesn't take something big to happen. It comes like this. Think about it. How quickly you can turn from being filled with the Spirit and in the presence of God and rejoicing to filled with anger at the drop of a hat if something happens. The kids didn't do the dishes last night, and they were supposed to. You got a bad text from work, or you got an angry email, or your car doesn't start. Just like that. And then it takes a struggle all day to get back into that right place. The battle begins right away. Recognize the arrow before the arrow strikes. And if the arrow does strike, pluck it out and throw it out quickly. The longer it stays in, the deeper it's going to go. Let that battle, let the thoughts dwell on the things of God. A hardened heart poisons the mind. It refuses to gird up spiritually. And it relies on its own strength. Think about that. If we're not relying on the knowledge of God, who are we relying on? Us. What I know. And I know a lot more than God, right? That's what Isaiah 53 says, right? You know, it says, God, my thoughts are not yours. Mine are better, Lord. Now, His thoughts are greater. Real quick, go through a couple of more verses I want to share. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The world wants you to think a certain way. Be a certain type of person. You know, my wife shared in prayer this morning that the Lord is creating newness in us, something opposition to what the world calls normal. We are different. We are meant to be different. We are meant to look like Jesus. Devil wants to exalt his thoughts and ideas in our minds over the Word of God. Exalt ideas that war against the knowledge of God and what God knows to be true. Instead, let us be framed within who God is in our lives. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, let the mind of Christ be in you, the Spirit of truth, Spirit of godly wisdom. Let it be in you that was also in Jesus. You would have the Spirit of God in you, recognizing His voice. Recognizing His voice. Know that. Spend time with the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, love, and of a sound mind. A mind that's strong and steadfast on the knowledge of God, on the word of God. Colossians 2:3, in Christ in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I go back to what I said earlier. There is no situation that cannot be overcome by the renewing of our mind with the mind of Christ. And what I mean by overcome is overcome me. Things might not change on the outside, but the outside does not dictate who I am, who I can be, who I'm meant to be. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious. This is a great one for our body. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That His peace is meant to be a shelter to our mind and heart. His peace that's beyond our understanding. Why? Because His knowledge is higher than our knowledge. His understanding is higher than our understanding. It's meant to be the guard that protects our mind and protects our heart. So Lord, I don't get it, but I'm going to stand on Your word. I may not fully comprehend the fullness of Your word, but I'm going to stand on Your word. I'm going to continue to stand on Scripture. Jesus rebuked the devil during his temptations with the word of God. Find Scriptures. We tell people all the time, find a couple of Scriptures that you can rest in. Even if you don't know the depth of their meaning and how God's going to do it in those things. But trust God in His word. If God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, when you're feeling alone, when you're feeling fearful, start telling yourself that, quoting that, standing on the word of God that is nourishment to our soul. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. In other words, I've hidden your word in me so I can bring it out, so I'm not opening the door for the devil to come into my mind and change my way of thinking. I've hidden it in my heart that I may not sin against you, because I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. Hold on to those things. Expectation is the key here. Expect God to do what He says He will do. Expect Him to be who He says He is. Think about that. Expect Him. He's the giver of the peace that passes all understanding. Expect Him to give you peace when you do your part. When you call on His name, He is faithful to answer. I expect Him. I expect God to do miracles. I expect God to do signs and wonders. I expect God to heal when I lay hands on somebody and pray for healing. I just expect it. I expect God to bless my marriage when my marriage is right before God, when I am right before Him, when my wife is right before Him, when we are right together before Him. I expect Him. If we're doing our part, I expect Him to do to bless these things. I expect God to move in you as you seek His face with all your heart. If you pursue Him, He's faithful to be found. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Find the goodness of God, because what? God is good. God is good. Let your mind dwell on the goodness of God. Whatever is right, whatever is noble, but whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, give God glory for it. Think about such things. I'm waking up achy today, Lord, but I give you praise because the sun's out and then I can get up. I thank you that I can be here to get laid hands on and prayed over and be healed. I'm frustrated, Lord, about my responsibilities at work and the stress, but I thank you I have a job. And I thank you that you've used me in the past, and you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as you used me in the past, as I turn my heart to you, you will use me today. And you'll use me tomorrow. Go from, oh man, to yes, Lord. Go from why to thank you. Go from wondering to expecting and see what God can do. See what God can do. See, I'm going to close now with this just last testimony. There was a period of time, and many of you who've been here a while have heard me share this, and this is where the devil came in. I used to say, you know, I'd go on vacation and I used to hear about how revivals always happen when the pastor is out of town. And I used to say, oh, every time I come back from vacation, I'm hoping there's a revival broken out. But see, there was a root demonic thought there behind that. Revival's great, and I'm thanking the Lord for it. But the root within me was, I allowed the devil to speak into my mind, I opened the door, that I was worthy enough to be used as an agent for revival, that it has to be somebody else. That those negative thoughts had nothing to do with God, that I wasn't worthy enough, that I'm not anointed enough, I'm not gifted enough, I can go down the list, that I accepted of myself to be one of the things that God can use to bring revival. I accepted that, and I had to repent of that and renew my mind that God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and all I have to do is keep my mind on Him, keep my heart directed towards Him, stay in His presence, and stay in His will, and He will do the rest. He can do this. Recognize who I am in Him always. Would you stand up with me? What I'm feeling right now is that if you just search your hearts, what I'm feeling right now is there's a lot of negative self-image type thoughts with many of us in this room today. And we think we're doubting ourselves, but what we're really doing is doubting the God in us. Doubting God in us. So right now, I just want you to just search your own hearts right now as the Holy Spirit brings into revelation those things. Now, Lord, I release an anointing on our body this morning. I release a revelation. In the spirit of truth, I release you to bring into mind, into light, your truth. Not what the devil says we are. Not the lie that we've embraced, but now the truth of who we are. That we are righteous before you because of your righteousness. That we are your priests, your anointed. And those thoughts that you're struggling with, self-image type thoughts, have also held you from moving forward in relationships and in the things that God has called you to, whether it's ministry or just your destiny, period. In the name of Jesus, we tear down the walls right now. Name of Jesus, right now, we break that wall. We just stomp on it right now. We break that wall right now. Right now. Right now. Jesus' name. The wall is coming down. You are free. You are beautiful. The Lord wants you to know you are beautiful in His eyes. For you men who don't like beautiful, you're handsome in His eyes.
You can't take a compliment if you come back with something. If somebody says you're beautiful and you say, oh, but my chin is like 7 of them today. Whatever it is that you say back, you need to know that you're refuting what God says about you.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we're coming against those things today, that we would see ourselves through the eyes of love, like that song that we sang, that we're ready to look into the eyes of love, and that He would tell us who we are in Him,
yes,
that we
Lord.
Are lovely.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord. So we just release, Father, your heavenly glasses that you see us through.
Yeah.
We're not looking in our mirror any longer. We're looking through your eyes. Yeah, Lord. We're seeing the beauty of your hand. Go ahead.
So what the enemy does when we won't see ourselves as he sees us, what happens is we can't see other people. Ooh. Does that make sense? So if I can't who I am in Christ, when I look at my husband, I can't see who God's telling me he is either. And it comes back to, I'm not receiving it from him. So if I can't receive it, I can't see it in my husband, in my wife, in my friend, in my sister. I can't see it. Then I'm negative.
Thank you, Jesus. So we just release right now, Lord. Your heart, your eyes, your knowledge to us right now. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Some of us need a spirit of praise. A spirit of thanksgiving.
Yes, Lord. Just listening to the Holy Spirit right now.